All right, open your Bibles if you got them to John chapter 10, verse 10. Many of you know this one. John 10, 10. John, you can start the timer now, but please don't. Okay. John 10, 10. The thief came. The thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Who's the thief? Devil, Satan. Came to steal, comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came, why? That you may have life and life abundantly, and have that life more abundantly. Good? Jesus came. So here's the question. Why did Jesus come? Isn't that awesome? Why'd he come? To give you life. Eternal life. And then once you've got that eternal life, he wants to give you that life, what? More? Abundantly. And so when he came, he's the way, the truth, and the life. And so you can only come to the Father through Jesus, John 14, 6. So he came first purpose that you would have eternal, what? Life. And once you have eternal life, he wants you to experience that eternal life more abundantly. Good? Now, but the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, killing is the opposite of giving life, isn't it? Yeah. So, listen, we were all dead in our trespasses before Jesus. So one of the primary ways that the enemy tries to keep you killed spiritually, one of the primary ways he tries to do that is to keep you from hearing about the life that's in Christ. Think about it. Before you were born again, I don't know if you were like me, I was on college campuses telling people the Bible wasn't real. In dorm rooms. I thought I was so smart, science guy. I was an idiot. I didn't even have my facts figured out. The things I was telling them for my factual basis were 100% wrong. I hadn't even researched them. But I was blinded. Blinded, right? The enemy tries to keep you. How does he try to? He tries to steal the word of Christ from you. Before you're born again, the enemy tries to keep you from understanding who Jesus is and what he did on the cross. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want you to have life and life abundantly. But if you get born again, if you get that eternal life on the inside of you, the enemy wants to steal the abundance of that eternal life from you. That's his purpose. He's going to seek to keep you from having the abundance of eternal life operating in your life. He does not want God's purposes for your life to come about. But Jesus, on the other hand, wants you to have eternal life so abundantly that it flows forth from your heart like rivers of living water. Now I've messed up all your visuals of that. Has anybody ever experienced that? I'll tell you a place I often have it, the Fresh Market. I don't know why I have it the most at the Fresh Market. I literally walk into the Fresh Market and I can feel the power of God, the flow of God coming out of me. It seems like 9 times out of 10 when I walk into there. I have it other places too, but it's like I feel rivers of living water flow out of me. And I know if anybody talks to me in that minute, or if I talk to anybody, they're going to get the overflow of that, and it's going to bless their socks off. And that's often the response I have from people at the Fresh Market and other places. Man, that is so good. Thank you for sharing that, that sort of thing. And that's what God wants. Proverbs 25:25 says, as cold water for a thirsty soul, so is good news from a faraway country. God wants you to be so overflowing with cold water for thirsty souls around you that it's good news from heaven, from a faraway country. Good? But the enemy came to steal that life from you. But Jesus came that you'd have it more abundantly. Okay, watch. Jesus did not come to give you abundant life in theory. Put on your seatbelt. He didn't come to give you abundant life in theory. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance, this is ESV, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. I put yet in there because I feel like that's a good faith word. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. But faith is the assurance. It's a contractual assurance. Faith is a contractual assurance. That Greek word, it's like a contract with God. God has put a proposal out. His proposal to you is in his word. He says, if you call on the name of my son, you'll be saved. His proposal is in his word. He says that you're above only and not beneath, the head, not the tail. His proposal is in his word. But when you latch on to his proposal in his word with faith, what happens is you just made a contract with God. He's already proposed it to you, but you can make a contract with him. Faith is the contractual assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. But imagine that you had a contractor come to your house to do work on your house. And you talked with him about what you'd like done, and he talked with you about what it would cost and how he could do it. And at the end you said, yeah, that's all agreeable, so go ahead and write up a contract for me and I'll sign it. And we'll be set to go. And he says, no, let's just make an agreement in theory. Would you make an agreement with a contractor in theory? And so why would you not make an agreement with a contractor in theory? Because you're going to get hosed. They're going to steal from you. Aren't they? You're going to get stolen from. One of the primary ways that the enemy is stealing from you today, remember life abundantly, but he came to steal, kill, and destroy. One of the primary ways, last time I'll say it, that the enemy is stealing from you today is trying to get for you to walk with God in theory only. The enemy wants to reduce your faith to simple belief by taking all observable evidence out of your faith. I'll unpack that in a later sermon, James chapter 2. Faith without works is dead. It's not faith. One of the primary ways the enemy's stealing from you is to try to get you to think of walking with God in theory only. A contractor would steal from you if you had an agreement in theory only. You want a contract. But the enemy is trying to get you to walk with God in theory only. Oh yeah, I believe God. James 2 says that the demons believe in God and shudder. Listen to Jesus. If you're in John 10 still, turn to verse 37. Jesus did not come to give you life abundantly in theory. John 10, 37. If I do not do the works of my Father, this is Jesus speaking, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. That's our Lord. He said, don't believe about me telling you about how to go to heaven if I don't do the works of my Father. Don't believe John 3:16 if I don't do the works of my Father. If I don't do the works of my Father, do not believe me. Thanks, Derek. Yep. Jesus had zero tolerance for words without works. You still got your seatbelt on? Come on, this should affect us. Jesus had zero tolerance for words without works, just like James had zero tolerance for faith without action in James chapter 2. Did they have zero tolerance for that because they were being harsh? No. Here's why. Wherever you are fine in your walk with God, to walk with him in theory only, it's in that exact spot that the devil will steal from you in reality. And whatever part of your walk with God, you're fine with walking with him in theory only, that's the exact part of your walk with God that the devil will steal from you in reality. Are you with me so far?
Yeah, good.
Okay. As I was prepping this sermon, I heard the Lord say, it's time to move the needle. Have you guys ever seen like a pressure valve? And on a pressure valve, there's a pressure gauge. It's got a needle, 60 PSI, 80 PSI, 100 PSI, 120 PSI. You see a speedometer, 0, 40, 60, 80, 100, 120 miles an hour. It's got a needle, right? Unless you got a Toyota Prius, then you've got digital. But 0, 60, 80, etc. It's got a needle. It's time to move the needle, which tells me two things. One, it's time for more. It's time for the needle to go up. It's time for more. It's time for growth. It's time for more. And the second thing it's time to move the needle tells me is that it's time for a measurable more. It's not just more pressure. It's 60 PSI to 80 PSI. It's not just more speed. It's 40 miles an hour to 60 miles an hour. It's a measurable more. It's time to move the needle. It's time to move the needle. You might say, Peter, are you talking about me personally or the church? Both. 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 Okay. But listen, you can't have more. You can't have more in theory. Come on. I'm encouraging myself. You guys got to hook me up. You can't have more in theory. How are you guys doing financially? Oh, better. In theory. What? How's the car's excel? You know, is the car going faster? Yeah, in theory. What? Are you getting stronger? In theory. You can't have more in theory. James said, if you can't observe your faith in action, it's not faith. In other words, you can't move the needle in theory. Or, in other words, you can't move the needle only in secret. Your faith with God starts in the secret place, but it doesn't finish there. Okay, one last scripture. Hopefully I'm doing okay on my 15. Luke 18, verses 35 through 43. Now everybody checks. I'm bringing it on myself. Luke 18, 35 to 43. You guys have heard this story before, I'm sure. Then it happened, as Jesus was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, the blind man asked what it meant. What's all this commotion about? He can't see it, but he can hear it. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And the blind man then cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He cried out. Now, he was ready for something new, wasn't he? You know he was. He cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He knows that there's a commotion, there's a crowd coming by, and he's trying to stop the guy that the crowd's about. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. He's trying to get his attention. He wanted more. He wanted a measurable more. A measurable more. He wanted to see. And so he cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And do you see what happens? Do you see what happens? What do his friends tell him? What do the standard-bys tell him? They tell him to shut up. Shh, shh. What did he do? Cried out all the more. Then those who went before him warned him that he should be quiet. And he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked the blind man, saying, What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. When you first try to move the needle, when you first try to move the needle, not in theory, but in reality, some people around you are going to tell you to shut up. They're going to tell you to calm down. They're going to tell you, don't get your hopes up. They're going to tell you, keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself, especially in today's PC culture. People don't want to, hey, don't let me hear about your faith. It might make me uncomfortable. Come on, man. We got a bunch of spineless people in the country right now. You weren't born to be spineless. We weren't born to be spineless. I'm putting myself in it. We just got to stop being afraid of everybody's opinion of everybody and start lovingly having discourse, right? I'm not talking about character attacks. I'm not talking about being harsh. I'd break a whole other set of scriptures, but talk. Talk with each other. Talk with each other. Okay. So, Right when he gets his faith out there, what happens? People tell him, shut up. What's he do? That's the moment of this story. There's the first moment where he cries out, but the real moment was, there's three moments. The first moment he cries out. The second moment, when he's told to shut up, what's he do? Cries out all the more. And the third moment is when he comes before Jesus. Jesus says, what? What do you want me to do for you? And you know what? He had an answer. He had a measurable, more sort of answer. He had a faith, not in theory, answer. He had an abundant life in reality answer. He wanted to see. He'd been blind his whole life. He couldn't hold a job, of course. He begged along the side of the road. So here he is blind, and he wants to see. And so he says that's what he wants. And what's Jesus do? Give it to him. Good? So listen, Jesus came to give you abundant life, but he did not come to give you abundant life in theory. The primary way, I'd say probably even the primary, if it's one of the biggest ways the enemy is stealing from you today in your life, is that you have areas of your walk with God where you're walking with him in theory. But it's time to move the needle. It's time to move the needle in a measurable way. A measurable way. Okay? Now, I've got an activation and then that's it. This is the first sermon in a series. I'm going to be unpacking this stuff over this summer, I believe. June 19th is when I'll pick it up. But you've got an activation to do today that then we'll follow up on June 19th. Here's what I want you to think about right now. Again, it's time to move the needle. Measurable. What's one area? Because Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? So you need to answer that question today. What do you want me to do for you? Isn't that a wonderful open opportunity? But listen, he does not want to do for you in theory. Stop that. He doesn't want to do for you in theory. By the way, that's the hotbed of the religious spirit. If you're fine with God in theory and not in reality, you will become a Pharisee. God works. He says, what do you want me to do for you? So consider this. What's one either physical or relational need that you have that you want met? And I'm saying swing big. We're going to be on this for 3 months, roughly, is my thought. What's one physical or relational need that you, what do you want me to do for you? What's one physical or relational need that you want met? And second, what's one thing in your relationship with God, in your walk with God, you want more of? One thing in your walk with God that you want more of. So a physical need could be that you want your eyes to be healed so you don't need glasses anymore. A physical need could be like mine, which is I would like to be 20 pounds lighter, like I was in the best shape of my life. Okay? Now you might say, yeah, then go work out, Peter. Yeah, that's going to be part of it, and I've already started that. But you know what? Historically, I've been 20 pounds heavier than I need to be. So I'm probably going to need a little help from the Lord to get there. And that's going to come through the right conversations with the right people, maybe some changes in mindsets, maybe some additional motivation I've never had before. I don't know what it's going to come from, but I can pray for it by God. And then a relational need. Maybe you have someone in your family that you're sort of estranged from. Okay? And you want to be reconciled to them. These are measurable things. For me, the scale thing would be measurable. The needle would actually move. But your eyes would be, yeah, backwards though this time. more health. Okay. But your eyes, measurable. Your relationship with a family member, measurable. Not in theory only. And then with God, I'll tell you what mine is right now. I've seen people healed when I pray for them. I've had lots of words of knowledge. I've had lots of prophetic words for people. I flow in that almost daily, in fact. But I want it to be the norm that people are healed when I lay hands on them. I want it to be 100 or a couple hundred times a year that happens. I want to lay hands on people and the power of God strikes them and they're never the same again. I want to be so overwhelmed with the presence of God that I'm always like I am in Fresh Market and I've got rivers of living water flowing out of me, right? Now, that's my thing. So fire of God. I want the fire of God. And here's the thing. last Wednesday night, I had that so on me. I was like crying out to the Lord for 2 hours probably. Megan was at women's group. I'm crying out to the Lord. Lord, more, more, fire. And here's what I finally heard him say. He said, I want you to have that same hunger 3 months from now. And I thought, oh, he ain't answering that prayer tonight. He wants to put it deep. Put it deep. Here's the thing. I want you to think of what those things are. I want you to get in groups of 2 to 3. And I want you to, 2 to 3 that you're comfortable with. 2's better, but in case you're not comfortable with someone that's in a group of 2, get in a group of 3. And I want you to share it. Do not give a discourse. What's the one line? I want to see. I want to lose 20 pounds. I want to have the fire of God. And then here's how I want you to pray for each other. Listen, I only want you to pray one prayer. Pray this. Father, we pray that we would no longer be fine with these in theory only. We have to see them in reality. You're praying a prayer for hunger, a hunger to seek the Lord until you're ready to see these things come to pass in reality. Good?